Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. We all love a high-scoring NFL game, but at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number one. I'm Jim Galante, along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, Merry Christmas week to you.
Yeah, it snuck up. I feel like each year in my life, it starts to sneak up a little bit faster because the days start to go a little bit faster. And we have all this, you know, Penn State drama and signing day and all that. So it's here. And I think it's going to be a good time to take 5 minutes off of work and really enjoy that time with my family. I'm looking forward to it.
You know what, Dustin? Talking about the time going fast, it doesn't get any better as you get older. As far as I'm concerned, it just seemed like last week we were talking about opening day and how much fun that will be. And yeah, Now we're talking also about end of season, talking bowl game, talking recruiting. Signing day was last week. So we still have a lot to talk about. Let's start with the fact that Penn State is now practicing for the bowl game. The big story is what players are actually going to play. Who's going to opt out? The first domino fell. Brandon Smith has decided to opt out, and he's going to get ready for the NFL draft. So he's not going to be back next season either. How big a deal is that for this bowl game, and how big a deal is that for next season for this team?
Well, I don't think it comes as much of a surprise, right? We talked about Brandon Smith, you know, a couple times just in this context, and saying that, you know, he's got all those physical tools. He's got the things that NFL teams are going to be looking for. I think he's still going to go under that raw category as a guy who's got quite a bit of parts of his game to refine. He's capable of delivering so much from that linebacker spot. And, you know, I think you've expressed some frustration. I think a lot of Penn State fans have expressed some frustration in terms of not just sealing on the deal on routine plays enough and trying to do a little too much sometimes and trying to make a little bit too big of a splash. And those are all things that are going to have to get smoothed out at the next level, because that stuff's not going to fly, missing guys in the open field and missing tackles because you didn't wrap. So he's got some work to do, but certainly one of the more tantalizing players in the NFL. And I think his skill set, just in terms of what he was asked to do at Penn State, he's still probably just scratching the surface as far as, you know, coverage and blitzing and all the different types of things that he's physically capable of doing. I think it hurts in one respect for the bowl game because, you know, you got three linebackers. You didn't have a ton of proven depth there. So you're going to have, as we saw, you know, a little bit last week, a Jonathan Sutherland or a Kobe King. You're going to have somebody who hasn't played a lot of snaps at linebacker playing against Arkansas. But as we start to find out more and more and we start to see opt-outs and things like that, I think missing key guys is just part of the deal now. And, you know, we talked about it last week too, just as far as from the fans' perspective of just looking at this game, not as a developmental thing, because certainly you want your team to win it, but looking at it as trying to get some information for 2022. And as far as that goes, you know, not having Brandon Smith in the lineup does impact your chances to win, but it does kind of give you a longer look at somebody, probably, that can help you in 2022. So I think there are some, you know, it hurts, but there's a clear silver lining in it that maybe you get a look at a young guy.
My thought on it, Dustin, is Jahan Dotson and Jaquan Brisker, I think, really showed what you can do if you do come back that one more year and go from a very good player with a lot of promise to a really good finished player Brandon Smith is not finished. You know, there's a lot of those tools are there. I have no doubt, you know, he's going to get drafted. I'm hearing things like third round, but he's a guy with skills who could probably turn himself into a first rounder. That's where I think I don't have an issue with him skipping the bowl game if he's going to go to the draft, but I think he would have been better off coming back. The other part to it is, you know, the effect it has on the bowl game. I'm with you in that there is a silver lining in that this game serves as both the last game of 21 and the first game for 22. Personally, I'm really anxious to see who that next guy is going to be. Now, and you mentioned we have this issue at Penn State. Arkansas is going through the same thing. Their best wide receiver, by far and away, has already opted out. And also, they just had a defensive end opt out. They weren't sure he was going to opt out, but apparently there's a DWI that came into play, so that kind of pushed him over the top to opt out. So it's going to happen to both teams. Getting back to Penn State, though, there's still several players who have to make a decision. Jahan Dotson, Rasheed Walker, Ibukidi, Tangelo, Ellis Brooks. These are all guys, and even Jaquan Brisker, who we know is going to the draft. I mention those names specifically because it's been reported when the media was at practice on Wednesday for a short time, none of those players were practicing. Do we think all of them are going to opt out?
I'd be surprised if all of them do. But at the same time, I mean, I think everybody knows when eyeballs are there that can publish information too. So, you know, I don't think you can take anything concrete out of that. But it is kind of an interesting coincidence, so to speak, that most of the players that you have your eyes on and are waiting for that decision who could conceivably opt out of the bowl who are not present for that portion of practice. So, you know, that's a large number of guys. And I think we are moving into more unprecedented times in terms of the number of players who aren't going to risk it for the bowl game. But, you know, you look at, you know, who's got something left to prove, you know, like there are some guys who are going off to the NFL. Let's look at a Tariq Castro-Fields, for example, who, you know, what can change for him if the last statement that he delivers is a 2-interception game, for example, you know, that can't hurt a player like that. Can Ebiketie, can he prove more? I mean, certainly he's got a lot of film, he's got a lot of production, but I think, you know, adding another layer to that as somebody who wasn't really fully on NFL teams' radar for more than a year can probably help him. So I'll be interested to see, but I would be surprised if all those players opt out, and that probably wouldn't be a great situation for Penn State because that is a large number of starters. And as much as you want to draw silver linings, it's hard to draw a silver lining if half your starting lineup is missing.
And I think there's a situation too, whenever there's those practices in December for the bowl game, there is a tendency, the coaching staff, I believe, to give some days off to those veteran players. They may not have to prove anything on the field or not, but in practice, they definitely have nothing to prove.
Yeah, that's true.
And the coaching staff has taken the opportunity to see some of the other folks. So I'm with you. I don't think all of them will sit out. We will, in quarters 2 and 3, start talking about the team, what we're looking for in the bowl game, and we'll start talking about some of those younger players who may have to fill in and what we're looking for from them. But there's also a couple other news items. We got to hear from Manny Diaz, former head coach at Miami, now defensive coordinator at Penn State. We won't know for at least another year or so how that hire worked out. But on the surface, without using the benefit of hindsight, I think of it as a great hire, and nothing he said in his press conference made me feel any different.
Yeah, I thought he was really good in that setting. And I think that's one thing that you get from somebody who has head coach experience is the ability to kind of present himself and to communicate and relay points. And not that he's inspiring the media necessarily, but I think he inspires confidence in the way that he speaks and the way that he conducts himself. And, you know, for a defensive coordinator, he really played good defense when he was asked about the Miami job, right? So that's a good sign. He coordinated his defense of that, and also his defense of ditching Temple for Miami. He gave a pretty good rational explanation for that. But I think, you know, and this is one of the areas, not that winning a press conference is meaningful to a team's defense, but somebody who gets it, who understands the big picture, who understands where he fits into the grand scheme of a program, where his defense fits in and all the different ways that that's intertwined with the fate of the whole team. I mean, it definitely helps to have somebody who's been responsible for an entire team, who's been responsible for setting a culture and things like that. And I think he does seem to be somebody who is kind of aligned from a personality standpoint with James Franklin too, just like Brent Pry was. So to have, you know, two of your most important figureheads, the head coach of your defense and your program's head coach, kind of coming from the same point of view can only be meaningful. And I think the head coach experience and all that can definitely help. And the fact that, you know, Manny Diaz has coordinated defenses for a really long time, and he's done it at the Power Five level. He's done it at the SEC level. So I think he seems energized by coming back and being able to narrow his focus to what got him, you know, to the top of the coaching ladder in the first place.
And there's a couple things that I like about this. That head coaching experience really can't hurt. Having a new set of eyes coming in as your defensive coordinator, that's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean things the way they were previously were bad under Brent Pry. They weren't bad. They were very good. That's why he has a head coaching job. But it's sometimes good to get some new blood in there, some new ideas and thoughts. I think a great hire. And also, I really took it to him for the whole Temple job, him, you know, having an issue with how he was replaced at Miami. But I got on him for how he handled Temple. But you're right, his answer was about as good as you could ask for. One last thing I wanted to ask you about, Dustin, that came up in press conferences. James Franklin was asked about the tell. There was an article in Philadelphia paper, a Villanova player said he knew what was coming, run or pass, because there was a tell on Penn State's offense. How well did James Franklin handle that question?
I thought pretty good. I think the fact that the tell went away shortly after that is good. I guess these things kind of come up. You hope that they don't, but maybe there was just kind of self-scouting. You just missed it, and sometimes you need to kind of fail in order to fix it.
Exactly. And one thing I always liked about that article was he said he could tell if it was a run or a pass pre-snap. What about an RPO where the decision run or pass isn't determined till after the snap? So that wasn't explained in the article. All right, that's it for quarter number one. Stick around. We got a lot more to go.
We all love a high-scoring NFL game, but at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.